Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is eternal, that your word is sufficient. We thank you, Father God, that you're supplying every need of these people. We thank you, Lord God, that you care deeply for these people, that your love has been extended to them through Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary and by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of them. We pray for them, Father God, for their every need to be met. And that, Father God, every lack and every poverty to be gone in Jesus' name. And that, Father God, for your abundance to come to their lives in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we also lift up to you Pastor and Ms. Hagen as they're ministering, flying to Ireland and ministering there. And then an Israel trip, we lift them up to you, Lord God. We thank you that you are doing mighty things through them, that your anointing be rich upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you guide and direct them by your Spirit into those things that you have designed for them on this trip, Lord God, that they may be a blessing to those around them, and that, Lord God, that they'd be blessed in the name of Jesus by what you have for them. And we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we just thank you. We lift our hands up to you and just worship you and thank you right now. Lord, we thank you. Haha patoko satalabaka sihe eko to soka yestis makahandi eko boson everatendi belalendi ustupikisi haha kataste oka bahahaste sipikeri akapeli akambro mognos tis mikiniti mognos to mikniti yanaman sukotuli akapashike de peste so combre catalia papastunda ingradines de maganda de kubakashili Elefto do coli atasi, in ingrestili ni mando co, elemande le crostini anto, e paradine ashika batova afacasoha, etis mahande de bequesto, en itutosa, danoda, en tima consonde, e bestu nu cantes metile asto so. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 I just sense this coming up out of my spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to hear the word, to look to the word. Look to the word. Look to the word. For the word is sufficient for that which you need. So don't look afar off and look over there and look over here and but look to the word and you'll find what you need. And you'll see that the word is sufficient for you. And that his promises are enough for you in everything that you need. So look to the word and you'll find the answers there that you've been seeking. Not away somewhere else, but in the word. In the word. In the word. In the word you shall find that which you need. And then you shall rejoice, for surely that answer, that which you have been seeking for, is now found and is at hand. For surely the word is even near you in your heart, and yea, even coming forth out of your mouth, even as you rejoice. So surely you have found the word. The word, the word is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. Now let's lift our hands up and just rejoice and thank God for it. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. 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 And we thank God for his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Let's take a look into the Word. Glory to God. Because, you know, when the Lord tells us something is sufficient, then I want to tap into that which is sufficient. And nothing is more aggravating than being able to try to use something that's not sufficient. But we don't have to worry about the Word. The Word is sufficient. The word is sufficient, amen? Praise the Lord. If you'll find your place in Ephesians chapter 3, I want to take a look here at Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer that he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We'll begin there and read down through verse 21. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone here tonight. And we just believe for God's richest blessings to be upon you. Looking into Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Now, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's a great prayer. It's a prayer that I believe that we ought to incorporate in our own life. It's in the Word, so it's already anointed. Amen. Now, I want to focus tonight, the rest of the evening, on the time that we have on one verse in that prayer. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Notice what it says. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Another translation says he's able to do much, much more than we ask or think. And that's good news, isn't it? The word able in the Greek means, has this meaning, to be powerful or capable. And so we know that God is both powerful and he is capable. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Glory to God. And so this is actually speaking of an attribute of God, ability, his ability, being able. You know, when it says God is able, that doesn't mean that able is his name, but it is meaning that God is able. It's his attribute. He is able to do what he said in his word. Isn't that right? And so we can put our confidence in him because he is able. I said, he is able. Praise the Lord. So I'm looking for some amens tonight. I'm kind of in the same category as Brother Bill. And when it comes to preaching and teaching, I'm looking for some feedback. If you can have some amens, or you can do some, say it again. Or as one person said one time, said, shake that bush one more time. But anyway, whatever your response is, but you know, glory to God, we are able to look into the Word and find out that God is able to do many things, a lot of things. Isn't that right? And so we have to realize that. So I want to tell you this, that God is able to do many things, much more than I can ever think of. Whatever I set my mind to, and the biggest thought that I could ever have, God can still do much more. And whatever the biggest thing is that I ask for, whatever the biggest thing is that I dare to ask for, God is able to do far more. He is a big God. The Bible says he holds all that he's created in the span of his hand. God is a big God. Isn't that amazing? See, other verses tell you this, that he is able. But I want to tell you something. Let me just say this to you. We must understand that God is able to do many things, but that alone does not guarantee that he will do it for you. See, here's the thing. This verse right here is kind of a refrigerator verse. There's probably somebody in this crowd tonight that's got this verse on their refrigerator, or on their mirror, or somewhere on a card, which is a good thing. I mean, that's a I mean, it's kind of a comfort verse. You know, sometimes we get up against something and say, well, we know God is able. You know, and that is true. That is absolutely true as far as it goes. I like to say it this way. There's more to it, me having or tapping into what God can do than just him being able. So I want to tell you tonight, the message title that I have for the few things that I want to tell you is God's ability can be your possibility. God's ability can be your possibility. You see, over in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says that he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. How many of you know God is able, and he is sufficiently able to save anybody and everybody that comes to him? But you know, not everybody's saved. So is there a problem with God's ability? Look at another verse. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. We see this verse, and it says this: God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I like that verse. It's another verse that can go on a refrigerator, another comforting verse. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. I can rejoice that God is able to make me prosper, but that alone doesn't guarantee that I'll be prosperous. See, God is sufficiently able to cause everyone to prosper, but not everybody is prosperous.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
And so we have to see that there's more to it than just God being able, although God being able is a great part of it. And we don't diminish that, we don't minimize that, but we want to build upon that God is able. How many of you say it with me? God is able to take care of my need, every need that I'll ever have, no problem. Hallelujah. How many people in this room you think that if everybody in this room asked God for something at the same time, do you think God is able to answer every prayer? God, it's a little weak there. How many of you think that God is able to answer every prayer of every person in this room, even if we pray at the same time? How about if everybody in the state of Oklahoma prays at the same time, you think God is able to answer every prayer? How about in the United States? How about if every living person in the whole world would lift their voice at the same moment and ask God for something? Do you believe God would have a crisis in heaven trying to answer all those requests? No, God is able. I said, God is able. Say it with me. God is able. Say it again. God is able. One more time, like you mean it. God is able. Amen. There's no problem with his ability. Isn't that right? And so we have to realize then that in order for me to get into that which God has said is possible, not only do I have to establish, first of all, that God is able, but then I have to learn how to connect with that. I have to learn how to tap into that. I have to learn how to cooperate with God's ability so that what he can do becomes my possibility. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Too many times when we look at this verse, we relegate it to God's sovereignty. Yeah, God is able. And that's as far as it goes. And it really brings no change in our life because we acknowledge that he can, but we have not tapped into to what God can do.
Yes. Yes.
The next step is, how do we tap in? Here's something that the Lord told me about this verse. In meditating on this verse, he said this. He said, most people live at the thought level or the mental level and never get any deeper spiritually. What do we mean by that? Well, it means this: they live by what they think and don't listen to their spirit. What does that mean? They live in the mental, Brother Hagin said it this way, many people live in the mental and physical realm and don't pay much attention to that which is in the spiritual realm. And I have to tell you tonight that God's ability is in the spiritual realm. Amen? And so consequently, what people ask or think about, whatever they ask for, is according to what they think and not according to what the Word says or what the Spirit, or in line of with what the Spirit can do, Spirit of God can do. So you got to understand that my asking and my thinking will affect what I will experience with God. He is able to do much more than I ask or think, but I like to say it this way, nevertheless, we will experience according to our thinking and our asking. Now, don't look at me like I took your toy away from you. I'm trying to teach you how to play with your toy. Sometimes people look at me, but, oh, well, but you have to realize then that we have to realize then that we have to learn to ask for the right things, but in order to ask for the right things, you have to learn to think of the right things. Isn't that right? Remember, most people live at the thought level instead and never get any deeper spiritually. They just come up with what they think. People live in different or various environments. And I come from a small town of 3,500 people. You could fit them all into this room right here. My uncle came to visit here, and I said, now, this is a big place. And I said, just to get you ready for it, I said, when you walk inside, I just want you to know there's enough seats in here to fit all the people in my hometown. And he lived right close by there. All the people in our hometown can sit in here at once. He looked at me like he didn't believe it. And I remember he come in the east door there, and I walked behind him purposely because I wanted to see what he did. He come walking in and he stopped and he looked and he said, wow. He looked around a little bit, took a couple more steps and he said, stopped and he looked around and he said, wow. You see, his world just got enlarged. You understand what I mean by that? And you have to realize that sometimes our world needs to get enlarged a little bit. Our thinking needs to get enlarged. You see what I'm saying? Why is that? Our thinking needs to be enlarged so that we can ask bigger. And better things. Anybody ever ask for the biggest thing that they dared to ask and almost choked getting it out? Before the Lord, you know, just hard. You almost thought you'd have to go out to the shed, get a crowbar and pry it on out, you know. Because you didn't know whether you're asking for something you shouldn't ask for, you know, or whatever. But you see, you listen to me. You've got to learn to change your thinking. See, people ask God for what they think instead of what the Spirit of God reveals that they could have in the Word. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And I'm going to read down through verse 12. And it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I've seen this plaque, that verse on a plaque on the wall. You know, that some people have it in their home, you know, and that's fine. They have it, just that one verse right there. But let me read it to you like a lot of people read that. I've heard people read it like this. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And the reason they read it like that or say it like that is because they've never read verse 10. I want to tell those people, don't quit reading. Because there's some good things. Isn't that right? Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed to them through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? I'm going to tell you something. What is that? One thought I'll get out of that phrase right there. What things does a man know except... what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Let me tell you something. Your spirit knows a whole lot more than your brain does. There's a whole lot more in there. And so your spirit has infinitely more capacity than your mind does, however great your intellect is. And you might rank at the genius level in your studies or whatever, but I want to tell you something. If you'll learn to tap into what's in your spirit, you'll find much more. You'll find much, much more. I said you'll find much, much more. Hallelujah. Now let's read again. Go on in reading. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And I look at that. We could stop right there and say, only he knows. Only he knows. And see, that's where people get these ideas of preaching extreme doctrine about the sovereignty of God. Only he knows. You see what I'm saying? And the truth of the matter is, we got to keep reading. Look at your neighbor and say, let's keep reading. He says in verse 12, now, that means right now. That doesn't mean sometime in the future we're hoping to, wishing we could. You know, you heard somebody did, but you probably won't. No, that's not what it says, does it? It means now. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. See, some of you didn't get that yet. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I guess I'm going to have to keep reading that. Yeah, I know some of you are waiting for the good part. We're at it. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. Say, freely given. Freely. See, here's the thing. Here's the reason why some people don't get excited about this. It's because to live in the light of this verse, verse 20 that we looked at originally, and in these verses that I just read, you must get beyond your thoughts into the spirit realm. See, what you think, now listen to this, what you think doesn't define what God can do. See, just because you haven't experienced it in your life doesn't mean God can't do it.
That's right. Thank you,
Lord. We've all these people that went out and endeavored to do something, crashed and burned, and now they're busy letting other people know you can't do that. You understand what I mean by that? And I know this, you got to learn to use wisdom and you got to learn from mistakes. I like to learn from the mistakes of others more than I do my mistakes. You ever learn, you know that? You never notice that's much easier, more pleasant experience? So learn from others' mistakes. I don't wish them anything bad, but I'll let you go first. Amen. But you have to realize that what you think doesn't define, or what you experienced so far doesn't define what God can do. What God can do is defined by what His Word says and by what His Spirit has power to do. That's what God can do. His ability covers that whole scope of whatever His Word says and whatever the Holy Spirit has power to do. He's not short on ability. But what He is looking for is for people to be willing to get past their own thinking and start looking into the Word of God and adopting His thoughts that He's written in His Word as their thoughts, and then consequently begin to ask according to what they found in the Word. Getting over into the realm of the Spirit. You say, I'd like to get over into the realm of the Spirit. I'm just trying to press in. Pressing in. You know, and sometimes they make a face. You know, I've seen some interesting looking faces at the altar trying to receive from God. But that's okay. I mean, if it works for you, great. But you understand, though, that really God's not going by the look on your face. But I know, you know, when you're trying to press in or trying to do something extra, you know, it's like, you know, people have facial expressions. My grandfather, he was a carpenter part of his life. And I noticed one time he was working on something. He had to nail something overhead. And I noticed something funny went on with him. He was nailing, and every time he hit it, his tongue came out. Just like that. It was the funniest thing. I watched that. I mean, his tongue was in rhythm with the hammer going up. But he got the nail driven in, and it worked for him. But I'm not sure that's what God's looking for. You know, that's just extra that you can do, I guess. See, you got to learn to get into the realm of the Spirit. The first, or let's put it this way, the entrance into the realm of the Spirit for us is the Word. It's in His Word. See, people try to go, I don't want to read anything. Let me just go down to the altar and see if I can get into the Spirit. My friend, listen to me. You know, if you seek experience without the Word, you don't really know what you end up with. That's really true. See, you need the Word, and that the Word, as you believe it in your heart, you're going to end up with an experience. You'll end up experiencing God. You'll end up pressing into God. You'll end up with revelation flowing in your heart and coming up and illuminating your mind and causing your what you ask God for to will be influenced by that. But too many people, I just have to tell you, too many people are looking for some kind of mystical experience in God that they really can't define. And unfortunately, when God does move, they can't define what they got when they go back to their seat. Don't look at me like that. I didn't take your toy away from you, and you never had it. You just thought you had it. But you know, listen to me. I'm just encouraging you tonight, get into the Word, and then spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Let Him enlarge you. Let Him help you to imagine living in the verses that you read in the Bible. That'll get you past your thinking real quickly.
Yes, sir.
See, now, because you see, too many people think, well, nobody in my family ever went to college. And then too many of those people in that family, because nobody in their family has ever gone to college, they just assume nobody can.
Right, that's right.
I have to tell you, nobody in my family ever went to college. But I showed up at Rhema Bible College. Contrary to what a lot of people are saying, I didn't come here with a horse and buggy either. Somebody said it took me 5 years to get here, but... but I'm here. However I came. You understand what I mean? And so you have to understand this. Just because people in your community says something isn't possible doesn't mean that it can't be done. Just because nobody in your family has ever experienced something doesn't mean you can't do it. See, the thing is, you got to learn to get over into the realm of the Spirit and connect with God's ability, and then that which has not been seen can become possible. God's power. Now listen to this. Look at verse 20 again. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God's power is working in our lives. As much as we let it. Now, I know people, they chase I call it chasing the power of God. They chase. They going after it. Well, really, when you get down to it, if you want to be biblically correct, the power of God resides in you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. See, the thing you got to realize is the Holy Spirit, when he came into your life, he didn't show up empty-handed. He came with all of his power, all of his wisdom, all of his ability, all of his strength, all of his knowledge. See, everything you need is a lot closer than you thought. What you need is inside of you. It's very close. Very close. Very close. But you see, it's not in the mental part of you. It's not in the physical part of you. It's in the spiritual part of you. It's in your spirit. That which you need is in your spirit. The thing that you and I need to do is get that out, is to tap into that spirit in our spirit where the Holy Spirit lives, tap into the realm of the Spirit and get that working in our mental life and get that working in our physical body too, as well as the world around us. How do we do that? Well, first of all, you know, we said this, you got to start by going into the Word. That's the door. That is the door. That's why the Bible says, number one, renew your mind to the Word of God. How do you know God wants you to have something? I'll tell you the truth about it. I grew up not knowing that God wanted me to have anything. And I'll tell you, it was the greatest thrill when people started telling me and I found out. And this is what attracted me to this camp, to the Word of Faith camp, and to Brother Hagin's teaching. When I found out that God was for me and that God was willing to share with me what he had, that he was not upset with me, that he's not looking for reasons why you and I can't have something, but he's at every opportunity, he's looking to get us that which is in his Word. So number one, I got to renew my mind to what God's Word says. And I can also renew my mind by meditating upon the Word of God. And see, that's number two that I've got here. Meditating on the Word, pondering in your mind, and speaking the Word with your mouth until something changes on the inside of you. Your thinking changes. Of course, you know, if your thinking changes, then your believing will change. And if your believing changes, then your speaking changes, and then everything changes. You understand? But it starts with getting your thoughts changed, having the right thoughts. Meditate on the Word. See, here's the thing. You might know what the Word says, but in order to see it being real in your life, that's where meditating on that scripture comes in. It becomes real to you while you're meditating on it. While you're meditating, you're going to be able to see yourself doing that, or see yourself having that, or see yourself moving with God in that capacity. That's why meditating on the Word is so powerful, because in that atmosphere of meditating on the Word, the Holy Spirit can speak that which you need to hear concerning that Word. He can help make it real to you. He can make it so real to you that the earthly things become strangely dim. Number three, you need to learn to, you need to practice praying in the Holy Spirit a lot. Pray in other tongues a lot. Why? Because it helps you to be sensitive to the realm of the Spirit. The Bible says that he who prays in other tongues speaks to God divine secrets to God, mysteries to God, divine secrets. There's a heavenly language whereby you can communicate to God far beyond what your thought level is, and you can be able to communicate with God on his thought level.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You get over in that realm of the Spirit and start talking with God about what's possible. And boy, when you and him get into agreement with some of these things, let me tell you something. Things become more real. Things become possible in our mind and in our heart. See, here's the thing. In order for your circumstances to change and what you change for the better, you have to see it as possible inside of you first, in your mind and in your heart. That's why you got to meditate on prosperity scriptures. If you don't have enough money for what you need to do, and if you're not blessed abundantly where you can be a blessing, that's why you need to meditate on prosperity scriptures, so that you can see the reality not only of having enough, but being a vessel that God can use to be a blessing. God, don't get quiet on me on that. Say, if you're dealing with physical symptoms, then you got to learn to meditate on the healing scriptures. Why? So that you can see yourself healed. See the possibility of you being healthy and whole and strong inside of you. And then it manifests in your body. And then lastly, I want to say this, number four, act in faith, believing and speaking the word. Because you see, when you do that, that's activating the Holy Spirit to begin to do what God can do. You see what I'm saying? I call it the other side of faith. What happens when a person believes and speaks the word? The other side, the heavenly side of that, is that the Holy Spirit is listening, and he begins to move according to that which has been you believe and according to what you've asked. And he begins to move to bring that about in your life. He doesn't come in weakness. He doesn't come as some person who's unable, but he comes with all of heaven's ability to your cause and to your aid to bring about what it is that you need. Hallelujah. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, so don't worry about those things that you've been facing. For surely the word is sufficient, and that which I have spoken is that which I will do. For the prophets of old said it correctly. Shall I not do it? Have I not spoken it? Shall I not do it? And so do not worry and be concerned. Do not be afraid. For I am able to take care of you and to bring you into what I have said. Yea, even though you're not seeing the manifestation at this time, meditate, look into my word, and you'll see that which I have spoken. And then it shall become something living and powerful and alive inside of you. And it will burst forth into your life the very thing that I have spoken in times past. And then you'll rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? What is that? The Holy Spirit's trying to encourage somebody with that which God can do. Because you see, when you move and when you do these things, renew your mind, meditate on the word, pray much in the Spirit, and then act in faith. Ask in faith. Let me tell you something. It activates the whole God's to move and to cause what He can do to come into your life. Amen? See, you can just move over into the realm of the Spirit, beyond your human thoughts, and then you're asking and acting according to His thoughts and His ability. Amen? Stand up with me. Praise God. I trust you got something out of this tonight. I trust I got it out in such a way that you can understand that this is not just something you can look at and take comfort in, but you can take a look at this scripture and actually experience change in your life for the better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have a need in your life, and we like to say it this way, the ladies are over here and the men are over here, and they're here to pray with you and to believe with you, to add their faith to you in what you need and whatever you need prayer for. And they're going to pray according to the Word of God. They're going to get over into the realm of the Spirit because they're going to pray what the Word says and pray according to the ability of the Holy Spirit. Not going to pray according to what you think or what they think, but according to what God has written in His Word. And that thereby, they're going to be tapping into God's ability. Just remember, God's ability can be your possibility. Amen. Don't forget Sunday morning. We've got a great service planned for you. We're believing for a great service and just worshiping God and the Word and the Holy Spirit moving. Come in faith, believing. Because you see, you can come into a service. If you don't come in faith, everybody else around you can be getting blessed, but you're sitting there wondering what in the world's going on. I don't feel anything. But you see, if you come in faith, then you'll receive right along with the rest of the people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, God can do what you need. And then you're dismissed. God bless you.